Well, thanks everyone for joining. I'm Leslie Cornwell. I run Midwifery Business Consultation. I apologize, I'm not as pretty in makeup as usual. I just got off the flight 2 hours ago from Denver. I was at the Midwifery Wisdom Collective retreat for the last week and a half. So it was a lot of fun, but yeah, skills and drills. I ran the IVs and I was showing poor Jennifer my arm. I'm like, these students got someone to practice on. So yeah, I did the skills and drills, and then we had the conference over the weekend. So I did a couple of business presentations, and then yesterday I did a business workshop. And it was just, it's hard because I want to dig deep down the rabbit hole, and everybody in this class were like new. So by 1 o'clock, we just pivoted to a circle and a Q&A because they were like way over Leslie's deep down the rabbit hole. And it's hard for me to be basic when it's so exciting. So yeah, so I appreciate everybody being on today. The intention of this is a Q&A. If people are nervous and don't want to bring up specific questions they have, the topic today is passive income streams for midwives. A lot of discussions we have are starting to shift as being self-employed to business owner. And that includes less and less of exchanging your time for money. You can choose to be part of your business. You can choose to be part of the system, but you're starting to create other income streams. You're starting to create stuff. Passive doesn't mean it's like the lottery. You hit a button and then it's magically there. You have to create the systems. You have to create the value. You have to create, but I promise you, it's not this mythical unicorn. I think in midwifery, people talk, oh, you really, everything you can't, you actually cannot create passive income. And I was like, I will challenge you. People do it all over the world. That's how most of the rich and the people financially free have an average of 6-7 income streams. And there's a small percentage, maybe 10-15% is actually them working because they like to work. They get bored in retirement. That's the big thing with people financially free is they now get to work because they want to, not because they have to. So you have a totally different approach to it. So if anybody wants to put stuff in the chat that they would love to focus on or address, there's many different ways to create passive income streams. It's doing what you love. Sometimes it's exchanging money to create those passive income streams, whether someone invests in their retirement. So you got stocks, bonds, mutual funds, you buy real estate, you're an investor in a startup company. You're exchanging your earned money for an investment in a potential growth in what someone else is doing. That's the one that most people are familiar with. The other ones I like to challenge midwives are create businesses, create side hustles of stuff you love that can be automated in time. So books, resources, maybe you have a lactation team, and then you've got a person that leads it. You've got a doula agency. And your goal is to take you as much as possible out of these businesses and systems you're creating. So you write a book, you get royalties forever. You make an online course. I mean, they're the coolest way when you wake up the next morning and someone bought a bunch of stuff. Like, there's ways to make it happen. Any questions anybody has before I kind of talk about other things within passive income? I think they're going to be the quiet group today.
I know.
So I guess, Jennifer, if maybe you want to talk kind of who you are and your background, and especially consulting work, I think that helps for people to understand the value of like business education and thinking differently and mindset. I think it's super powerful. I went down this rabbit hole in 2017 and it took me about 2 years, but you have been amazing that it was like 3 to 6 months and you've really accelerated. But I think a good chunk of it is like, I kind of gave you the roadmap to accelerate versus I had to stumble along the way, which helps a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Well, been in the midwifery world for over 26 years now. And of course, when I first started, it was the mindset of you work hard, you grind, you sacrifice yourself, you die all broken, and you've hardly ever seen your family. And, you know, that was just, that's the model. And just working hard to try to get out of that, to have a more sustainable life or myself. I can't live it practically yet. I'm still a solo provider, but trying to train students in that way and always loving the business side of things and wanting just always feeling like there was more and better out there. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of resources to find out how to get there. So mm-hmm. there did come a point. And for me, like the tipping point was when a client said, "Hey, you're an awesome midwife, but it's sometimes hard to get a hold of you. It's hard to communicate. I don't want that to hurt your business down the road. I care about you. You're really good, but it's hard when texts don't get returned. And it was humbling and hard, but I was so thankful for her. And it was like 2 weeks later, I think, that I was like, I am biting the bullet. I am hiring you to go through like some consulting and like, let's get to a better level here. Hired new people, fire her. But it was
transition your team. Yeah.
It was a mutually agreed upon retirement. Let's put it that way. And yeah, so it was like, everything was just ready to take big leaps and to be very futuristic, because it's a daily grind. But like, you know, I texted this morning, you got to work on your faith and work on the vision. And
yeah. You're going to always have ups and downs in that process. And I always stress to people, like, these things don't happen overnight. They take 6 months. They take a year. These tools, these resources, these referral networks. I think too many times thinking outside the box of like, I have a lot of value. It's not just the midwifery care in front of me. I recommend things. I recommend products and resources. And everybody can go down the ethical road of like, well, you chose to recommend that because you get a financial kickback, whether it's like a product on Amazon or it's a supplement or you choose full script. But I also challenge people, like, if you got the whole point of ethics is you want to be careful that you're not choosing a poorer product than what is out there because you're getting a financial kickback. If you were going to recommend that item to them anyways, whether you got money or not, that's that.
Why not benefit?
I mean, yeah, it's value. You have value with your expertise, knowledge, who you know. You got to be careful with anti-Stark when it's medical practices to medical practices that you can't get money for referrals. But midwives were typically not under, in most states, the medicine corporate laws. They're usually listed in midwifery. And so that helps a little bit. But it's also, if it's a doula, it's an acupuncturist, it's lactation, they're not physician to physician. So there's compliance laws. I always stress to people, if you're going to do direct referral kickbacks. But my strategy is bartering crap. Like, instead of dealing with the money, have a list and keep track of so-and-so sent me some clients. I sent them some clients and you figured out what it's equal to. Maybe you give each other extra supplies. Maybe you trade off some stuff for that compensation. It doesn't always have to be money for money. So I think passive income isn't just talking, I'm going to sit on the Bahamas and watch my bank check fill up. It's also increasing value and currencies outside of time and money. So valuing those relationships, building up systems, building up referral bases have a financial value to you. So Jennifer, what are other things you can think of or we should dig down that are passive income streams that midwives can do or that you've read about when you've been going this direction of thinking?
Well, I know what I'm working on right now is finding every company that I align with that I can join their affiliate programs.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. It's awesome getting an email saying, hey, we deposited money in your account. And I agree with what you just said, you know, about the ethical part of it. It's like, you just have to have that inner compass anyway. Like, let's not recommend crap products that aren't going to be good for our clients just because of a financial payout. But hey, I really like this childbirth education, or using full script to come up with protocols. It's also made my life so much easier. Like, I've just done the work once, send them the link in an automated email, and I get.
But you were going to tell them to buy a supplement down the store or online, and it might as well be one, you know, the product they're getting. Yeah.
And also, if they go to Amazon and buy a product, they're not guaranteed to get it. They're not guaranteed that it's fresh, that it's not replaced with something else, and that somebody unethical has just resealed it. So, you know, I have the confidence with full script of you are going to get your product because it comes direct from the company, and, you know, all those kind of good things. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because you can put it on your website. You can have a recommended resource list that it can include pediatricians, lactation, pelvic floor, therapists, and also have products you list and recommend. And then it has simple links that automatically give you a cut from that product, that service. And even if it's a referral, like, hey, I love this person, schedule a visit, they can actually make tracking systems with the chiropractors, with the other people, to show where that client came from, not just asking them who referred you, because if if they don't remember or forget to ask, you can have automated tracking systems to show that those things, or even just like courses, like you said, if there's a childbirth class, like baby boot camp or different things online that you really love and you recommend anyways for somebody that needs online, you might as well just have a QR code. You might as well have a link. People will put in their like new OB packets or like little flyers, or they'll have like a resource board and they'll just literally have the QR code. And so instead of them trying to type in and search the link or go to your website, three different things, you can easily, QR codes aren't that hard to make. There's actually an online program. Literally, you just search free QR codes. You put in the link and then they make you a downloadable QR code. It's not hard. I think people get a little scared by this new technology. So there's really easy ways, like your knowledge, your relationships have just as much value and worth than your time for money, The other cool one I like to talk about is real estate investing. A big chunk of midwives, there's a huge ripple effects of where you're going to be in the future. If you rent your birth center or your clinic versus, or you just do home visits all the time versus you buy your clinic and buy your space. Because there are midwives that are retiring 30 years into it, wanting to sell their practice. A good chunk of the value is that real estate. And if you don't own it and it's leased and there's variables and it's outdated, like, and you would have paid for it five times over those 20, 30 years, like this building in the 1990s with 30 grand and now it's like a million. Like I think that inflation hedge and at least, and then people do not understand tax deductions. Like there is the number one businesses you get into, and the government does this on purpose. The highest tax deductions are in farming and housing. They want private businesses to go into it. So many rich buy real estate, not for the cash flow of what it's going to create, the tax deductions to take off their profits from their companies. There is a reason that the rich do 0% taxes legally. They know how to play the game that's been created. I want to teach and have the midwives playing the game that's out there. So having a simple thing, even if you're like a home birth midwife, small and simple, I don't need a building. I challenge you, how much time are you in the car versus people could come to you? Even if you're a high Amish Mennonite, like the little bit you're doing your English or the few times, having a central place for supplies and go-to and chill space, that, like having a home office is sometimes tough, like just to be productive and get things going. You get a building and you have a rental clinic room you're using, an office space you're using, you now can rent to other people to pay for the building, give you profits. Plus you're surrounded by like-minded people versus you rent a random lease and you have no clue who you're going to be surrounded by. I mean, some of these leases, you're like, why did you pick this building? They're like, those weren't my tenants around me 5 years ago. Like you just don't have a say of the culture and the feeling people get when they walk into your space, when you're leasing in a bigger building.
And I think, you know, when we're trying not to just trade time for money, when it comes to passive income, sometimes that takes paying for stuff to give you more time to concentrate on the thing that's actually going to make you more money. Yeah. So that's been a big one for me too. Like, you know, trying to look up, like, who can I get samples from? That's a project that's been on the back of my mind for the past 4 years. And I hired my subcontractor. I'm like, hey, can you go do this? It wasn't worth my time because it was too low value. So that's passive income too, you know, in its own way of knowing what you're worth and what's worth spending your time on versus hiring somebody else to do it.
Yeah. Well, and the term return on investment is so foreign to the average midwife because people say, well, I'll mow the lawn, I'll do my bookkeeping, I'll do my marketing, because they're just seeing, well, I don't want to pay someone $20, $30, $50. That'll save me money to have me do it. But then it compounds on more and more of your time and you're not valuing, like it took you 8 hours to do what a marketer would have took 20 minutes. And you probably still aren't as good at the missed things and algorithms and rankings and different things that we have to leverage the experts around us. So creating passive income streams doesn't necessarily mean you have to be the one that directly makes the product, the tool, the system. You have the idea, you have the vision, you know what you want, and then you can choose to decide you're the one that creates it, or you have people on your team do it. So I'll give examples of, like, with our practice, Midwifery Business Consultation, I started it first, 2017. It was my pain point side hustle from my burnout, my private practice. And then I grew, we made policies, we made tools, a lot of the stuff I was talking in consulting work, we shifted into courses, and then we grew as a team. So now my team gets to leverage all these amazing resources, tools we have online that literally when they sell a package and they work one-on-one with people, it takes me 3 minutes to copy these documents, copy these tools, share it in the Google Drive and get it to people. Even though it's not like when I say passive income, you're always going to have to keep an eye on something. You're always going to have to make sure it's doing what you want. You're never going to just ignore it. You're going to have 99% of it automated. There's no such thing as like, I just hit this button and money, I have a money tree in the backyard. Like that doesn't exist, but you still have to be responsible that it's doing what you want. Even if you have a rental property, you can get a property manager, but you still got to interview the property manager, make sure they're qualified and competent. And so you make products, you have your team make products, you still are the one that's going to make sure they're all good and correct. But I'm talking about you're taking so much of you directly out of it to create these amazing things that have unlimited return on investment. Like that's the power of passive income. We update every year, year and a half, our policies. We have as a team, everybody looks at it. We check on things, make sure things don't need to be updated. But these tools are just, they can make you unlimited amount. Like even our online courses with Empowering Midwifery Education, I do all the business ones and there's probably 15, 20 of them, but we've got over like 120 courses on there. I have 10 instructors with me. They're amazing. We have it as a system where there is people that take the idea of the instructor, they make them research outlines, PowerPoints, structures of what they want. The instructor does the recording. I have a video editor. I'm literally just the final stamp of approval because we've gotten such an amazing team and system. The instructors work with the team and get it where they want. They have autonomy to work with them directly. I'm the final stamp of approval. We have someone that does Teachable. They implement everything. They know the flow. I literally look at everything to make sure there's nothing big because it's ultimately my image. And then we hit publish. And then we talk to the marketer and they sell it, they promote it, they brag about it, get it to the target market. So there's a lot of ways to make passive income into your life by taking amazing people's ideas, amazing resources, filling gaps. When midwives are begging for certain topics and educational resources out there, we find the best of the best we can. And then that person teaches it. It doesn't mean I have to make all the courses. I have to make all these products. You become in this layer of business thinking that there's bigger problems. Yes, there's a trouble. This woman is not getting, or this family is not getting a midwife, but what caused the system to make that happen? And how can I help on a larger scale? So return on investment with passive incomes, the more you can fill needs and the bigger the needs are, typically the more money you make. So just think outside the box of what are you knowledgeable about? What can you do? Where are your passions? Because we don't want you to create a bunch of stuff that you hate keeping an eye on. That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Or that you hate doing in the first place, just to, yeah.
Just because you think it's lucrative. Money. Like, don't ever pick a business pathway because you think it'll make you a bunch of money. Please, please, please don't do that. So, Jennifer, I'm trying to think of other big passive income streams of just books. So we're working on eBooks. I just put on the website this weekend for eBooks for EME, and I've got to add them to the MBC shop. So we took all of our courses because people's learning styles are different. I do listen to the evaluations. Everybody was like, it's hard for me to listen to audiobooks. I need something like to print and write on because of their style and their thinking. So like listening to people. So yeah, eBooks, like all the team had to do was take our content and resources and convert it into books. And then you pay an editor to check it all over, convert it to a PDF. And now it's a downloadable thing. People click and you get an email of money coming in and it's all automated. So just think of what people's needs are and how can you fill them with what you know and what's special about you.
I think that last part of that sentence is part of the big struggle that so many of us struggle with, the imposter syndrome of who am I to think that I know this or that what I'm saying is valuable. I mean, my goodness, I went through it for many, many, many years. And here I am, as old as I am, finally going, what I have to say is valuable, learned through much research, much experience. I catalog everything in my brain that I experience with birth and dealing with people. And I claim with confidence that I have something worth listening to. So if you're not to that point yet.
You have to be the expert 100%. You can't
part of the hurdle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am valuable. What I have to say is valuable. How can I get my message out to more?
Yeah. Well, and I always stress to people, it's not actual value, it's perceived value. Like when you start learning sales and arts, you may see in your own little world, there are desperate needs and things and problems. But if the consumers, the people you're trying to target to, don't also see its value. I mean, the joke I give is people say, I can't make money doing that. And I'm like, people make millions of dollars making stupid poop pillows. Like, it's all perceived value. Like, I personally would never buy some of this stuff, but there are so many markets.
Go on YouTube and just watch people fold laundry and make money from that.
My goodness. Right? YouTube channels are harder. I mean, that's a bigger scale long-term thing, but there is a midwife in Louisiana, Cajun birth house. She had, like, I did a YouTube video with her about 2 years ago. She has a huge following. She does make money off her YouTube channel. She's the only midwife I'm aware of that has a huge following. It all started because she bartered with one of her home birth clients' family for free birth, and he would manage, like, whenever they had the babies or whatever. I don't know what they have now, but it's a complex animal. Like, to expect an average midwife to have a YouTube channel, you have immense knowledge and skills, but to manage a YouTube channel and all the algorithms and the stepping stones and how to get followers, that's an animal. I wouldn't expect the average midwife to try it and wonder why they're struggling. So yeah, I mean, there's people out there making money with their knowledge and skills and expertise. You just have to figure out what makes you happy. If you love doing education resources, we have 6 MEEC accredited schools. We need desperately more midwifery schools. You could create it. You could create the system and the team. And it doesn't mean you have to be the program director. You can pull together the money. You can make the business plan. You can get the program director you hire that talks to you and has meetings whenever you decide can make everything underneath. So, like, I think that's the part that passive income stream can be businesses, but we just have to be careful that you've created enough budgets and accuracy. There's enough people running all the things to make the system run that you disappear from it for 2 weeks, 2 months, it's still rock solid. I think that's the big difference people don't understand. Mm-hmm. So I would love, Erastem and Deandra, if there's anything you guys want to put in the chat or ask about, otherwise Jennifer and I'll just keep chatting up a storm. So.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm watching because my wife asked me to watch this. I know some of the stuff. I've read some of the stuff. I believe in a lot of the stuff that you guys were saying. So if it is recorded and you guys are going to make it available,
it'll be on the YouTube channel. My team will. Yeah. So it'll be about a week and a half.
I'll let her know to do that. And I mean, I'm sure that I've got questions, but I appreciate kind of like the course that you guys are running here. This is like a crash course in the essentials of having passive income. And I believe that that's like a very important thing to do. We both believe that. So we kind of read in the beginning that if this is something that we're going to be doing, like in terms of like what the life of a midwife is like, then we got to figure out a way to be able to also kind of unplug, because that's important. And this this kind of goes into that.
I appreciate that. You're definitely bringing up the right angle, because when we do business consulting work, we try to get the midwives to do OB coverage services as like 30-40% of their revenue stream for their practice versus 100%, because that's a huge part of the burnout. That's a huge part of that exhaustion when you or your team is unpredictable. All of a sudden you could have nobody for 2 weeks and now you have 10 babies because of the lunar eclipse and the pressure changes. And so it's a lot of, so my intention is sustainable midwifery. Like, you can give, maybe you want to take 2 clients instead of 10 clients, but the budgets and finances don't work well with just that aspect of services. Or I have a lot of ladies that there are a lot of states where Medicaid pays crappy, Medicaid doesn't pay for home births. And they're like, I want mission work, Leslie. Like, I don't want to start a nonprofit, but I want to do it and serve people, but I don't want to make money off of doing home births for these families. So that's talking about those passive incomes. Because if you say, I'm going to get a job on the side, and like a lot of these CNMs that have nursing degrees, they're like, oh, I'll just a couple times do a nursing shift. I'm like, you're still exchanging your time for money. That's not a passive income stream. So I love that midwives need to start thinking outside the box. I'm not saying you can't serve people how you want to. But eventually the numbers and the time, you're going to want to retire. You're going to feel guilty because more people want to be served by you than what you can do. This has to be scalable and expandable. And you need resources to do that. So if you have these passive income streams that you can use for yourself to save for a rainy day, or you can use in those expansion pain points of your practice, how cool would that be? So thank you, Rostam, for bringing that up. Deandra had made in the comments, she was asking about passive income streams for home birth practices. And I know, Jennifer, that's more of your strength, kind of talking about those referrals. Are there other things you can think of? I like the childbirth classes. I like the lactation agencies, the doula agencies. Even your birth assistants can be cross-trained to be doulas and birth photographers, and they're on your team and you put the packages together. Oh, a home clinic. Sorry about that. Thank you for correcting me. So if you want to expand a little bit what you mean by home clinic, is it like a women's health clinic or you do home visits? What direction are you thinking? Yes. Okay. So home care, I mean, depending on if it's postpartum, prenatal visits, you can literally make it what you want. And I challenge people, like, look at the trainings. And thank you so much. Women's health planning. Excellent. So you can do that virtual. You can do that in person. Well, woman care, excellent. So having people on your team, like you may choose to be one person and then you add a nurse midwife, you add a women's health nurse practitioner, you add family nurse practitioners, you charge one rate. You pay them, you get the spread of the difference. So that's creating passive income streams. You created the team, you created the brand, you created the system. You have the scheduling, you have the receptionist, you have all the tools to make it happen. And then you're high enough in the ranks of all the staffing that you can choose to see people, but that should be icings on the cake of the profit. That's the challenge I try to get midwives and birth workers into is like, I guarantee you in the beginning, I mean, I'm opening a birth center right now in Detroit. That's where I'm sitting right now. My intention was to hire the team from day one. And it wasn't even about the money aspect. It's been the challenge of finding qualified midwives all over the country to fill that role, which is what everybody's having across the country. So I'm probably going to have to be on call the first 3 to 6 months. And I'm okay to do that sacrifice because to me, it's a short term to make an amazing, strong team that I know has the right skills. It's going to decrease quality. They're going to be the teacher for our future site. So it's really important for me to invest personally, my time and energy, but knowing long term. Yeah, in midwifery, you're bringing up a good point, Deandra. In the nurse, midwife, and hospital world, midwifery jobs are super unstable. My discovery calls the last 6 months and yep, nurses are making more. I have so many colleagues that are nurse midwives did locum travel assignments and they stopped the last 6 months and shifted to nurse travel assignments. They had less responsibility for more money. And that's what's hard. Like when you look at nurse practitioners and you look at the specialties, CRNAs, which are nurse anesthetists, are at the top, nurse midwives are all the way at the bottom. So I am all about when we did our business workshop yesterday talking about safety and security in the corporate world is a complete illusion. Like nurse midwives, when we are in close to very serious economic times, there's a lot of inflation and manipulation of on the economic system right now. I think getting close to elections, it's a very manipulated system. The data is very different than what we're seeing or being told. And that's happening. I'm getting so many nurse midwives coming and doing discovery calls with me because on Monday, they lost their job. They got rid of the department. They got rid of the OB group. They got rid of the midwives. Because these systems are trying to prep for what's coming. And when there's an OB on call and a midwife on call, it has nothing to do with quality measures. They just only have to pay for the OB. They're like, well, the OB can do that normal stuff the midwife's doing. So I push a lot of, we're almost done with a telehealth online course to help nurse midwives. I've got a few colleagues that I've been helping. They moved to Mexico. They moved all over the world and they're doing online concierge services. And then they're creating passive income streams. So just reading. So she said, 2 new grads hired and oriented and let me go in good standing. Yeah. It's a money's game. Your premium, they're cheap. And they can manipulate them a little easier than they can you. I mean, they're new and green and palatable to be whatever culture of midwifery they want. Yep. Having your own practice, I help so much with niche businesses, midwifing the midwives, concierge services, find a need in your area, figure out the value. And maybe in the beginning, it has to be just you, but you have a stepping stone plan to get more people on the team to turn it into a business passive income stream, depending on how many finances you have. We teach a lot with like business plans that if you have a business plan, you can get a team and pretty strong from day one. Yeah, Georgia is a tough state, but I'm not going to challenge you. I know of probably 10, 12 nurse midwives that do home births. Everything is figure outable. I'm not saying Georgia is impossible, but it's one of the harder states. You can find a collaborating physician. Think outside of the box. It doesn't have to be somebody local. It could be somebody within the state. You can actually get anyone in the country as long as they have a license in the state. So you can have a virtual collaborating physician, supervisory physician. You could do a nonprofit. I always challenge nonprofits aren't ever an intention of passive income streams because it's owned by the community. It's owned by the board. It's never owned by you. It's created to give back.
I've also found that clients are usually really okay with the thing that you present matter-of-factly. Like here's the boundary. Here's my rule. Okay. And, you know, I've lately thrown things like, time limits on texting and charging for weekend unnecessary calls and stuff. And I tell them like, hey, I have a whole staff to look out for and I try to help them have a life. So, you know, that's why we have these systems in place. And they're like, oh yeah, of course. That's reasonable. Mm-hmm. And they're all for it. But if you go at it apologetically and I don't deserve to have any time. I don't deserve to have any life. I don't deserve to be paid for this. And then they're going to treat you and the system however you present it to them.
Yeah. With being a new client, I mean, it's really important to have an expectation of care, practice model of care, when to call, what's urgent, what's not urgent, what does your team look like, how is it structured, are you a primary, and then you only see this person if you have a rare backup, or you guys share call as a team and you work as a team. I have students with me regularly. I mean, I have so many people say, oh, my families would never take a student. I said, how are you presenting your students? And it's usually in a negative light. This is personal and private. Do you mind if they're in there versus, I am so busy. Wouldn't you like your sisters and your daughters in the future generation to have great nurses in the hospital, great doctors, great EMS that's actually competent, qualified to take care of you? Wouldn't you like the next generation? Wouldn't you like me to have in 3 to 5 years, like 5 midwives in the area versus just me? Like, how are we going to show people normal if they don't see it? Like, this is why our society is the way it is. So everything's how you present it. Ethics are always an interesting thing that came up a lot with the conference because of different perspectives. And like, I talked about my virtual assistant team in the Philippines and people got really offended. That's not ethical. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to challenge you. I didn't make the rules of the world reserve currency and the third world countries and how the disparities are. I didn't make that, but these families are starving and they can live and feed their family for $2 a day. I would put a job application and I'd get 300-400 people apply. And the stories they tell me would break my heart of the sacrifices these moms have to make to support their families and survive. And like with my team, they get asked all the time, do you have extra help? Do you have extra work that you can provide? So like, I give them flexibility. Like, I'm like, you guys are moms and I want you to be successful as moms halfway around the world. And I also got these projects to work on. So Rasim has a retirement question. Go ahead.
Okay, so you're talking about passive income streams here, and we're talking in the present, right? So in the future, there's also going to be a need. This is why people do retirement and whatever systems they set up. So as a business owner, right, you have access to expanded amounts that you can put into various types of retirement accounts, right? So like you could do $6,000 a traditional IRA, you could do a certain amount in a 403B if you were employed by 403B. As a business owner, what are the vehicles that are available that you can put, let's say, larger amounts into tax-free now that you can have access to in your retirement? So there's an income stream that way as well.
Mm-hmm. There's way more things as a business owner you can tap into, just like tax deductions. There's barely anything besides the standard deductions is W-2. So I'll give you Rostam my backdrop. I was a financial planner for Northwestern Mutual for almost a year. So like finances and retirement are like my jam. Yes, there are so many buckets. You can actually max out at about like $66,000 or $68,000 a year you can put away because you can have your company match what you can do. You can do way more than a W-2 employee can do. There's Roth buckets, there's IRAs, and a lot of people don't even understand that you don't have to invest what they get used to is, well, if I do a 403B, I want it has to be in the stock market. It has to be here. And I'm like, that's the way the company you worked for had designed it. When you're your own business owner, it's an IRA, it's an independent retirement account. You can practically invest into anything. There's like 2-3 things you can't do. There's commodities and like wine and art things. Like, you can tell some of the rich had abused it a bit. But totally, like the whole point is passive income streams, but also investing in things, whether it's tangible businesses, products, resources, or you're investing into someone else's business for it. Your goal is to work because you want to. I define retirement as not when you just stop working and you sit on the rocking chair and sit on the porch. You now converted to, I've got a steady stream of income coming in from my various things. Obviously, the retirement is more something you can tap into at 59 and a half. So that's more of a long-term passive income stream versus the short-term ones. And you got to be careful. It's not just putting money into these buckets, but also thinking, well, how am I diversifying my future taxes? That's why people do a lot of farming and real estate, because it'll offset those other taxes you get. Because putting stuff into a Roth account, you pay the taxes now, and then you never have to pay taxes again as long as you wait till after 59 and a half. You just have that early pull out 10%. But with these buckets. So yeah, I encourage everybody to have a financial planner. The cool part with financial planners versus like lawyers and accountants, they're free. They get their commission most of the time in the backdrop. So pick their brain, ask them lots of questions. We have two amazing financial planners, one directly with Midwifery Business Consultation, Mandy Froelich. So if you go to like the consulting tab, she is amazing. She runs Black Hills Financial. She just had her first baby at a birth center. Did you want to say something, Rostin?
No, I was just agreeing with you. Sorry, I'm listening. I'm taking notes here.
Love it, love it. Well, you got the recording. As soon as the team edits it, you and your wife can listen. But yeah, so Mandy Froelich is amazing. She has a private practice, and then I also send people to Chris Arnone, and I'm definitely able to put the links underneath the video when I send it. So he works at Northwestern Mutual. So if you search, the only reason that it's just different when you work for corporate America, he can tap into a lot of things that Northwestern, and that was the company I used to be the financial planner for. So it's really, really good. I'm a client of both of theirs. But they can tap, he can tap into whole life and disability and certain policies that Mandy can't tap into because the company is over 200 years old. So there's a lot of grandfathered in policies. So I encourage people, don't just think I have to have a financial planner. I have to have a accountant and a lawyer. They all have different specialties. I encourage people to hire Mandy and Chris and pull together their resources to make you a dynamite financial team. So Chris Arnone is Arnone. He's phenomenal. His wife's a doula, future midwife. They've had all their babies at home, twins at home. He's awesome. So he's like, great. Those, yeah, And so Jennifer is also a product of the product. So, remind me that my brain is just tired. CFPs with Knowledge of Midwifery.
There's financial planner. So there's no commission based on it. So you pay upfront for their planning, for their time, for their services or whatever it is. But you know that it's basically detached from any kind of a product that will be sold or offered or anything else.
I'm sure because Mandy is a private person, you could hire her just for hourly stuff, but I don't know how she, because she's a private practice, she can structure it however she wants. It's a little different. I don't know directly if someone that's just hours for time to talk to, but I can promise you both of them. I mean, the fiduciary side of it is they're going to have honest conversations with you. I just stress that, like, particularly, they're going to promote more of the products they have because part of their employment and structure. But if you come to them and you ask about commodities, you ask about business, you ask the questions, they 100% will go down that rabbit hole with you. That's, yeah, I 100% agree with you. I don't know too many that are just 100% time for money and you just pay to set it up versus commission in the backdrops.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, great questions. So Rostam, I'm very curious what you do, because you know definitely more than the average husband for a midwife. So if you are open to, I love you being on here. Thank you for joining.
Yeah, for sure. So let's see, my background is that I was actually born, I was delivered by a midwife many years ago in another country. And like in classic tradition of the third world, they can't even find records of the birth. It just, it happened in the house. Yeah. My wife is a midwife. She was a labor and delivery nurse. My background is that I, let's see, my professional background is I'm a public affairs person in the LA area. I graduated from Harvard School of Government. I teach at Santa Monica College. I teach adult education over there. We focus on poli sci. There's a fun little one that I teach, intersection of politics and music.
Okay.
I delivered my second child in the car. We didn't make it. So I get to joke that I, you know, I delivered.
You're a midwife. Yep. Anybody that catches a baby is a midwife. Yep.
I delivered a baby before my wife did. So that's like a very brief moment of. And then the last piece of it is, I mean, when she was going through, and I'm sure a lot of husbands similarly, when their wives are going through midwifery school, you know, they end up learning a lot because a lot of it gets shared to be processed about information, about facts and stats and things like that. So I know enough to know that I don't know all of it and that I should stay out of the way because this is an industry that the professionals are professionals and it's not like they're not joking around, right? But I also know a little bit about like kind of like how the pieces move, and every now and then I'll actually take a guess as to when somebody's going to be born, and I'm usually right on within like a few hours plus or minus. And sometimes I'll say things, my wife will say, don't you dare wish that on me, and I'll be like, whatever.
Yeah, you're joking. Yeah, you're putting a little hex on her of timing, but it's truthful. I mean, the partners, the support teams, we joke, my husband jokes too, he's like, I'm a 20-year midwife apprentice. they just, yeah, you vent and you brainstorm. With our first birth center, we lived in the upstairs until we had our house. Like, that was our house payment. That was the first time around when I crashed and burned. I was the average midwife, time for money, sacrificing everything. I got to use my own hard cash and time to start this practice. I was like, you're going to train as a birth assistant, because if my birth assistant doesn't show up and you're upstairs, you're going to come help me. Like, you just make sacrifices. But I think it's important for the partners and the support teams to hear, they are the glue that keeps these midwife practices together. A lot of them do a lot of hidden stuff, like the billing, the accounting, the finances. They run half, I would say there's so many husband and wife partnerships for these practices that just don't get enough credit to them. Half these midwives, you want a business partner, you want a life partner that just loves your passion and helps you feed it. And so I appreciate you being one of those many partners out there doing that.
For sure. Thank you.
So I know we had one more person add, and I think just with the time change and some confusion, because I know Jennifer was telling me before we hit recording, it told her 11 and then, yeah. So I will have this on recording. We started an hour ago and have 3 minutes left, but if there's anything you would love to add, I know you just added, came on a couple minutes ago, but we will put it as a recording. The team will edit it and I'll put it on YouTube next week. She might be driving too. So she's one of my consulting clients. So we could always chat on the sideline too. But I think that's what's important. We need more and more midwives to understand business, to have families, to think, oh, she's saying things. So this is important. I mean, I'm deeply passionate about midwives and their families getting business knowledge. This is how we scale up. This is how we become a threat to the bigger medical system to make change. Like, I'm so tired of the scarcity and the lack of business knowledge dictating us getting 1-2% of the population. We have to grow and sustain this. And to be able to do that, we have to convert from more and more self-employed midwives to business owning midwives. I deeply, deeply believe that. For us to train more students and for us to serve our communities better, we need to get leaders at the top that understand business, understand structure, understand systems, and creating passive income streams. The other challenge I give people is the rich make lucrative income streams from their businesses, then they make foundations, then they donate to their nonprofits, their missions, their dreams they want. If you start with the nonprofits first, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but you're always going to have to get grants. You're always going to have some sort of vulnerability that if the funds don't come in and overflow for whatever your mission with it is, like a lot of nonprofits, we talk about ancillary services to give cushions. What if the grants don't come through? What if that funding to do the mission you want to do doesn't happen? So if you go the direction of more lucrative businesses, passive income streams, and then this is how the rich do it. These are big foundations that are out there, the Gates Foundation. Instead of paying the government the taxes, they donate to their foundations and then they create their nonprofits. So passive income streams can have many, many benefits. Like, I stress, there's a lot of psychology with midwives that money is evil, money is bad. I was like, money does nothing. It's the person. If you have someone that hoards and they have no money, they're still going to be that way while they have money. If you have someone that gives the shirt off their back and they have nothing, as money comes into their life, they're still going to do that same abundance and giving and giving. It just amplifies what they're doing to the world. So that's a challenge that I give a lot of people, because there's a lot of guilt around money and not working hard for it. And I shouldn't make this as a midwife, because they're not valuing their time, valuing the resources, valuing the business impact has to the greater community. So I think that would be a great way to end things, of like, until we start getting more and more people with a mindset that thinking outside the box, thinking what's possible, passive income streams can be many different directions, short-term, long-term, it can give you opportunities. You could choose to sell your business in retirement, or you could pass it on to your kids. You can have a passive income stream from your business with enough resources. So like a lot of times we don't talk, I rarely talk stocks, bonds, mutual funds, because it's heavily manipulated. The return is so minuscule. When you make businesses, you do real estate, you create these wonderful systems and passive income streams. It's truly an unlimited return on investment opportunity for you. You just have to create them. So, well, thank you so much, everybody, for getting on. And I appreciate you greatly, Jennifer, stepping up more to be my cohort in crime for this talk. So, yeah, so we try to do these every month. And I apologize, I changed it at the last minute because I screwed up that I had the business workshop and I couldn't be in two places at once. So I moved that last week. But yeah, we try to do once a month questions. Oh, do you mind? Do you mind cutting the video down, moving?
Not to you.
Yeah, we can do that. I'll put a little note to the community and the editors. No problem at all.
I did have like a lot of questions. I want to be fair to, you know, the other people on this thing to ask questions as well. I know you had a lot to say in a very structured way. So it was good to hear it at a, like, I don't want to say 30,000 foot level, more like the 10,000, like there was actionable things within it. And it really is more effort to do some of this stuff than people give credit for. They think, oh, you know, it's going to be easy. But sometimes they also overthink it and think that it's much more difficult than it truly is. And finding that balance between like grand ideas and applicability is really important.
Yep. Analysis paralysis versus dream small. I mean, you could have a big end game, but like I talk to people, even just postpartum moms, I like little side hustles. Like there's a lot of co-ops out there. You can donate your milk if you want to, and you get a little money. And then someone else, it's a fraction of if they go to a big system. There's moms out there needing breast milk. You could create a little Etsy. Like there's moms that make little really cute homemade clothes and they have a little extra money coming in. Now she can stay home an extra 3 to 6 months. It does not have to be big or small. Like an extra $50 is an extra $50 you didn't have to work towards. So totally start small, but it's always good to dream big. And then if half of it happens, 10% of it happens, versus you dream small and you're like, oh, it kind of worked, sort of worked, but anything is possible. Any of these ideas and suggestions can be baby steps. Like you just talked about the full script. It's definitely just like, you're going to recommend once in a while a supplement. Not everybody needs a supplement. Maybe it's $10 one month. Maybe it's $100 another month, but it's the compounding effect of all these multiple income streams. And then you're stronger versus if you only have money coming in one way and then all of a sudden that stops, you're super vulnerable to the system. So if you have 6-8 income streams and then one kind of goes away for the economy, the system, you slip and fall and you can't make money as a midwife anymore, you've got these other income streams that give you choices and options. So there's a lot of power to passive income streams, and you can think tiny, you can think huge, anything's possible. So thanks everyone. I really appreciate it. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.